spirit guides. With the exception of dark entities who go through the left door when they die and come right back into utero again, every one of us on Earth has a spirit guide, a best friend from home who watches over us and advises us, whether we're consciously aware of it or not. Not only do we each have a spirit guide, but most of us will also be spirit guides for someone in the course of our soul's journey. It is an often painful, often thankless, always awesome responsibility, and it is the ultimate honor to be asked to take it on. Our relationship with our spirit guide starts on the other side with a sometimes slow-growing friendship. In fact, by all accounts, I wasn't quick to warm up to Francine when she and I were getting to know each other at home. I thought she was a little too authoritative, linear, and emotionally distant, and it speaks volumes about how our basic characters remain consistent that I preferred friends who had more of a sense of humor. But by the time I made the decision to go through another incarnation on Earth, I knew that those same qualities would make her the perfect spirit guide for me. She would remain calm in the crisis-filled lifetime I had mapped out for myself. She would temper my drama with her sensible practicality. And she would be counted on to stand firm, be straightforward and plain-spoken, no matter how much I would argue with her, which has turned out to be a lot. In other words, like every effective spirit guide, she has assets that complement mine beautifully. Our spirit guide knows us better than we consciously know ourselves. I'll never forget Francine saying to me once, "I told you not to go back to Earth too early. You always get so bored in utero." Was I aware that I entered my body early this time around, let alone that I have a history of getting bored in utero? Hardly. When I say their knowledge of us is thorough, it's not an overstatement. One of the most common questions I'm asked is, if I have a spirit guide, why do they let me make so many mistakes and let so many bad things happen to me? Part of the answer came from Francine several years ago, when I complained to her about that very thing during an especially rough time in my life. She asked, "What have you learned from those times when everything went perfectly?" It's important but hard to remember that if we were looking for a smooth sailing perfection, we wouldn't be here. We would have just stayed in the divine bliss of the other side. We wrote a very detailed chart, our contract with God, before we came here, based on goals we hoped to accomplish, and we included some very difficult obstacles to overcome in pursuit of those goals. Our spirit guide's promise is to help us fulfill our contract with God, not to help us break it. Another part of the answer as to why our spirit guide doesn't intervene more often is that we sometimes just plain don't listen to them. You would think I wouldn't be guilty of that after 63 years of Francine constantly chirping away in my ear, being right time after time. But no, I still argue with her. Still am occasionally convinced that I'm smarter than she is, and still insist on being defiant every once in a while because I hate being told what to do. And sooner or later, I invariably have to hear her say, "I told you so," and admit that yes, she did. If your spirit guide isn't as audible as mine, please don't assume you don't have one, or that they're not sending you frequent messages. Sometimes they speak through infused knowledge or information transmitted directly from their mind to yours. Those things you suddenly know without having a clue how or why you know them. Spirit guides also speak loud and clear in ways we self-consciously try to explain away in terms we're more comfortable with, like instinct and premonition and conscience and dreams and something told me. Try exchanging all of those with the term spirit guide, and I doubt that you'll ever again complain that yours isn't sending enough signals.